Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Strikeout Bros. It's good, Lash.
What's going on, man? This is last week before the playoffs. So this is episode 23 for this second season of the podcast. And the title of this episode is called Last Call for the Playoffs. Today we just found out the Dodgers are in it, the Yankees are in it. The Padres are in it. The Blue Jays and the Yankees have both clinched a playoff spot. There's just basically it's coming down to the wild card teams. Mets and Reds, last spot in the
Mets, Reds, Arizona, yeah.
Yeah,
Mets. It's getting crazy. Arizona.
Yep. And then in the American League, you got the Red Sox. They also clinched the spot, the second wild card spot. And basically now it's coming down to Cleveland and Detroit. That's going to be one of the main topics in this episode, how fast that division flipped.
It flipped everywhere.
Yeah, but no more so in the, when I tell you the stats for the American League Central, you're going to be like, oh my goodness, what happened? It flipped drastically. And so anyway, going into the All-Star break, you know, Detroit, you know, had the massive lead. They came out to a big lead. They were just winning, destroying everybody. Cleveland was just barely hanging around. Even Minnesota, yeah. I think at one point was ahead of Cleveland.
Yeah, they were of the few first to 60, I believe, you know.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, now they were, you know, going into September, they were looking at possibly just shooting for the wild card spot, the last wild card spot. Well, since the All-Star break, the Cleveland Guardians have now gone 39-23. And in July 9th, they were 15 and a half games behind the Detroit Tigers. So when you see that, you're like, there's no way they're going to catch the Tigers. They're just too good. The Tigers have a better pitching staff. They have good offense. And then all the reason why, you know, most people thought Cleveland wouldn't win the division is because, you know, they lost a couple of key starters due to gambling issues and so on and so on. And they're like, how can they piece this together? Because they lost their closer. They lost one of their starters who was also caught in the gambling scandal. And then in August, too, they were still, 12 and a half behind. And ever since... And they just been on a tear, you know. They had a 10-game winning streak at one time. They're doing all this without Class A, the closer, Cade Smith, and there's some key unknown players that no one's ever heard of that have kind of sparked their run to possibly win the division. A couple guys by the name of Colby Aller. He's a pitcher. He's a first-round pick of the Braves. he kind of bounced around, and he got drafted in 2020. He bounced around. He got hurt. He got, you know, when he was with the Phillies, they weren't comfortable. They felt like he wasn't ready. So they sent him back to their spring training center just to, you know, tweak him and get him better and kind of like fix his mindset. And, you know, he did two stints with the Braves, didn't work out. And ever since, he's just been lights out for them, you know. And another key contributor for them is his name is Joey Cantalino. He was a plug-in starter for the Indians, and he's, you know, he's been he's held in his last start against the Indians, he held them to 8 scoreless innings against Kansas City. Another guy that's been doing well for them is Tanner Bibee. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Of course.
He's been really good. He's had such a stellar September that he's in the month of September, he's had a ERA of less than 2, a 1.04 ERA in the month of September.
It's amazing. That's what you need in the playoffs right there.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you think of the Guardians, you don't, you know, you only think of one big name, you know, Jose Ramirez. He's literally carried them. He's been their, I would say he's their version of, what's his name? Can't think of it. What's the guy's name? The catcher in Seattle?
Oh, Cal.
Yeah, Raleigh. Cal Raleigh. He's been their version of Cal Raleigh. He's literally put the team on his back. Him and Bo Naylor have carried the team offensively.
Seattle has a team, though. Seattle has a really good team, though. When you look at the lineup is really good. So,
yeah,
he's not, you know, he's hitting, but the team is stacked.
No, but it's definitely stacked. But he's been more of a contributor than what's his name, Julio Rodriguez, who everyone thought would be the main home run hitter.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's what's helped Cleveland. And then the other thing is the Tigers, they just completely fell apart. That, you know, minus, you know, Skubal and everybody, you know.
Oh, well, you know what happened to Skubal. Skubal's out for the season.
Yeah, I heard he got hurt.
Yeah.
Which is, that's their ace. It's, yeah. You know, being an Orioles fan, a Mets fan, we lost, you know, even the Braves. Once you lose your ace, it's hard to replace them. I don't care who you are. You can do plug and play guys, but they're not, there's a reason why they're called the ace.
Yeah,
you know, because if there was no such thing as ace, then anyone could do it. But
yeah, by the way, the Mets just finished winning. They took the series from Chicago. They won 8-5. They were able to accumulate 10 runs, 8 runs, right? Mr. McLean came in 5.1, I believe, right? 11 strikeouts. They hit him. Suzuki hit 2 home runs against him. You know what I'm saying? But 11 Ks, 2 walks, in control.
Five
5.1 innings. Yeah, like, listen. He, you know, he pissed his heart out, and I love it. You know, see, I mean, we had to score as well. You know, it wasn't an easy, you know, win. But, listen, it pushes. Arizona lost today, so it pushes them back 2 games. Yesterday, we lost. Everybody lost. Arizona, and so did Cincinnati. So,
Cincinnati.
So, now, everything stayed the same. Today, we go win. And Cincinnati wins, right? So we keep them at 1 game back, right? Because it's the same thing that we both won. And Arizona lost, so they go back down to 2 games. This is great. We have 3 games left in the season. We're fighting, trying to get into the playoffs. I really believe that this team can turn into something in the playoffs. If we set up our rotation properly, I think McLean definitely earned a slot in the postseason. You know, I think the Clay Holmes and the Manaea combo works as well. You know, maybe they can do that as well. You
in
know,
the bullpen. 5-4.
No, not in the bullpen. Like, yeah. You know, like they'll want to pitch 4 innings. The other one will pitch 5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Or vice versa,
how like you want to do start.
It. A split start, exactly. That worked. I saw it work the other day. I think that can actually help the team, you know, seeing that we have a lot of pitching. So,
well, here's the thing. I know we kind of got off topic, but this is good. So anyway, with Clay Holmes, you know, he's more natural relief pitcher.
Yes, exactly.
Where Manaea, he's just getting old. He's lost control. He's lost confidence in his stuff. And so he's
But if you're asking for four from each, yeah, four from innings. Each. Listen, four from each is not a lot, and I think they can handle it. Last night I was watching the Dodgers game because these games are super interesting. So first of all, Pittsburgh was winning the game, and then all of a sudden Cincinnati decides they get an inside the park home run because the ball hit the wall back there. And
yep.
And then after that, they tied it, and then shit went into extra innings, and I couldn't believe it. And Pittsburgh still prevailed, and they still won. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy. So I watched that game in full while I was at work. And then I came home, and I watched the rest of the Dodgers game, which is incredible because they had the lead. And in the eighth inning, Arizona comes back and ties it after winning the game prior to that.
And they won the bottom of the ninth.
They
walk off.
No, no, who? The Dodgers the went into, No, they did it. Oh, in the first game. No, and the last game, night. The yeah, in the first. Game. No, no. In the, last night, no. They went into extras, and the Dodgers prevailed. And, you know what I'm saying? So all three teams lost, so the standing stayed the same. So it was perfect
so
for
Mets
us.
The Mets lost. Nothing hurt. It didn't hurt the Mets that they lost.
No. And we still won the series, you know what I'm saying, which is great because Chicago's in the playoffs. So, you know what I'm saying, if we happen to bump into them, we know McLean can handle it. You know what I'm saying? That'll be a perfect start for McLean. But I think that, you know, we have a shot. If we enter the playoffs, I think we have a shot, and then we can rejuvenate and start fresh. You know what I'm saying? It's a clean slate. And I think we can prevail. I don't listen.
But that's what happened last year. It's a brand new season. Playoffs, you're different mindset, different, you know, because I in my opinion, I feel like, you know, when it's such a long season, it's easy for a player to just kind of like dog it, like just let's just get, especially if you know you're going to make the playoffs. It's like, oh, it's hard to play these silly games because, you know, the team you're playing, they're not playing for anything. In this case, the Mets were playing for were playing for something. But, you know, it's just, you know, for actually really not really because Chicago's wrapped up the number one wild card, so they're really not playing for much. So it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? But so just trying to get down to a stretch, you know, so the guys, but now you have a reason to try hard. So the thing is the one thing I noticed with this month for the Mets is the offense has been lackluster. It's just inconsistent, struggling to score runs, struggling to produce, and it's really frustrating. You can't have that going into. And that puts a lot of pressure on the starting pitching, puts pressure on bullpen. That's why there's a trickle effect for everyone. That's why everyone's struggling.
Definitely that.
So it was a trickle effect. But, you know, that's what happened last year. You know, the Mets got in there. But last year was different because the Mets stayed hot in the second half and
came
all the way to the NLCS. This is going to be different because now you got to rejuvenate yourself. You got to pump yourself up and say, okay, new year, and it's a new season. Forget the past. Start over. You remember, the ERAs get wiped away. Everything gets wiped away. Well, I don't know about that. But you know what I mean? Everything is a fresh, clean slate.
Yeah, it's a clean slate.
So let's, you know, and if, you know, what the Mets are hoping for is to catch lightning in a bottle again. Because that's what the playoffs is all about. You know, you could be the hottest team. You could be Cleveland, win 10 games in a row. You go into the first round, you get swept. Or you do what Toronto does every year. They get in and they fall apart. And then, or things like that. Or Milwaukee. In the last couple of years, you know, win the Central and then just, you know, do nothing in the first round or, you know. So to me, I think it's a good thing to be a wild card team. It just because you're constantly playing. You don't have a day off. You just get back on the saddle. Okay, next guy up. And who's the rotation continues from where it left off. So if the playoffs were to start tomorrow, all right, McLean pitched today. So who pitches tomorrow? Tong. Okay, Tong goes back in.
Tong didn't have a good start. He got lit up, but
Tong's, you know, had a rough September. They said his ERA went up to 7, but it's okay. But you know, it's okay. It's gonna happen because the Mets weren't expecting to have this guy come up in the middle of a pennant race. That was not what the Mets.
Yeah, but look, McLean is working it out, and he's been able to do it.
Yeah,
but you know, it's hard. But I understand that, but. Let's see what happens. You know, like 3 games left. You know, we got 2 on Arizona.
Miami's
we got
1 on Cincinnati.
I know, but Miami's tough, though. It's a tough out. You know what I'm saying? We'll see what happens. Yeah. I'm scared, you know. But if we make it, great. If we don't, then we know we have a lot of stuff to work on. And, you know, we gave the season away. We gave the division to the Phillies. We didn't play well. So the situation with the wild card is if Cincinnati ends up tied with us, they beat us in the series, you know, because we played three over there. Played three over here, head to head, right? So they beat us 4-2 in that six game series. So they would automatically take that third wild card away from us. So being tied at the end of the season with that team isn't going to work. And being tied with Arizona isn't going to work as well, because they have a better division record, because we ended up splitting the series 3-3. So it goes to division record after that. And they have a better division record than we do. So being that that happens, we don't want to tie with them at the end of the season either. So we have to win it outright. And it's going to be hard. This is why it's hard.
Lose one game. You have to sweep the Marlins and Cincinnati. I don't know who they're playing. They have to at least lose one of those two games, three games.
It's a one game. You know, right now it's at one. So even if we win tomorrow and they lose, right?
Still ahead.
We'll be ahead by two games, and there'll be two games left to play. So it won't be over till the last day of the season.
Yes.
We don't have to sweep. We don't have to sweep because – what we have to do is, if they win, we have to win. If they lose, we're okay with losing. But we have to break it down. Yeah, of course.
If you win out, then all bets are off. You get in. Doesn't matter. If you lose,
to win out, you have to win two games. Two games in a row. Two games in a row, isn't it? Three game series, but two to win.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Two to win the division. Tell me to win the wild card slot. Yeah, because they fall behind. If we win tomorrow and they lose, you know what I'm saying? Or either doesn't matter. Even if we lose and they lose, you know what I'm saying? They have 2 days to figure it out because it's a one game, you know?
Yeah.
But let's see. It's going to come down to the wire and all these games count. It's crazy. It's just like last year because, remember, they ended up playing a doubleheader. You know, after the season ended, they played by themselves. They were the only baseball team to have to play a game, you know? And they played the doubleheader, and they split it with the Braves, and they both went in.
I remember that because it was a makeup game. I was like, man.
Exactly. So all the games counted. You know what I'm saying? So this year, it seems like the same thing is gonna happen. But
yeah, well, that's the amazing thing about baseball. This is why in baseball it's so important to have a good lead, because the Mets came out to a hot lead in the first 2 months of the season, and that's what saved them. Because when you fall like. If you have like a bad month. If you have a bad month, that first 2 months is like your net that catches you from falling off the ledge, you know. So that's your saving grace. So, you know, that notion like, yeah, it's okay if you don't know. Because it's harder to come back from a bad start than it is to come from a good start. You know, Baltimore started out 15-28.
Yeah,
you know,
they're
doing better, but it's too late. It's a day late, a dollar short. Now they're done, you know. So it does matter. Same thing with
They're not done.
Season's over.
Oh, it's Baltimore. I'm talking about. I thought you meant Boston. I thought you said Boston.
No. Boston's fine. But fine. So even with all the troubles that the Mets have had, they're going to most likely make it, which is pretty amazing. But if they don't make it, man, that's going to be one of the worst collapses. But I don't see that happening. Cincinnati is just not strong enough. They had the same issue. Started out slow. Now they're playing catch up. It's too late. They don't have the power. The Mets have a better lineup.
You can't say that.
Reds too, you know.
I know, but you can't say that because anything can happen, you know. And the Mets haven't been playing
well. No, anything can happen, you know.
But I hope that it works out for us. But you know, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Not just that, you know what I'm saying? I know you were, you know, we were discussing the ABS all season long. And
yep.
We have episodes on this and we broke it down to you guys and we were excited. And guess what? It's actually coming back now and Losh is going to break it down.
Yep.
And I love it. I can't wait. Listen, man, that's another reason I copped a new show, a new edition of the show, because they implement that rule into the game. I want to see how they do it. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be exciting. No more fighting the ump about bullshit, you know what I'm saying? If you think it was a ball, then challenge it, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, do what you have to do, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. None of those bullshit calls, you know? I like it.
Yeah, none, you know, not a game that's going to come down to a bad call, you know, or a ball that was clearly a ball, and the game ends, and the umpire calling a strike, and it's like, oh, and the game's over, so... you know it's gonna come down. You know that's what's gonna happen. It's gonna be a playoff game this year where a bad call from umpire is gonna end the game.
Of course.
And it's gonna set the world MLB, you know, on fire.
It changes everything. You know, a backhaul can change the whole shift, the whole game.
Just look at Armando Galarraga years ago, a perfect game. If they had instant replay, they would have, you know, what do you call it? Challenges. They would have had the, you know, he would have had the perfect game intact.
Listen, it's times even when the
situation, you know,
when the replay doesn't even work, man. The other day, Alvarez in the bottom of the ninth hits the shot. It's a home run. It's a live and drive, right? It goes straight to the back. And the guy, you know, he catches it, but he used the gate to catch it. You know what I'm saying? And the replay, they you know, they looked at it and they still called it an out. And I wasn't happy with that. I feel like that was a home run. I think he used the gate. There's a lot of things that are happening out there. You know, like it's hard to, you know, call a perfect game in baseball, it seems like. Even with the replays and, you know, all the challenges and stuff, it feels like you still get these silly plays that sneak in there and fuck up the game for you, you know? But it's okay. Especially now when you're, like, worried and you want everything to work out for your team. And, you know, a little mistake can cause them a series. And I'm glad we were able to prevail. I hope we can continue. We have three games left and all three games count. Hopefully we can, like, knock the Miami Marlins out of the box. You know, we're supposed to, but you know how we play these teams that are not in the race. We really, like, play down to their level and we suck. And let's see what happens. But we play good teams really well. So that's what the playoffs are all about, right? So let's see what happens in the playoffs. If we make it, I think we'll go for a big run. You know,
well, if you make it, you play the Dodgers and you play the Royals last year. So
I know. I think we have a shot at the Dodgers. Number. If we do it right, and you have to understand, you know, like the Dodgers haven't seen McLean, and you know, Manaea came in late in the season. I'm not sure if they saw him. So you know, he's a lefty. The Dodgers don't do well against lefties. So we can use this to our advantage. You know what I'm saying? We have to set up the rotation properly for this to work out. I think if we hit, we'll be fine. You know, playing in warm weather because, you know, it's going to have to be over there, obviously. Playing in warm weather is going to be good for us, you know. So,
yeah, let's see if we can, you know, it's October. It's already cold in New York.
Yeah, exactly. So, let's see how this works out for us. The playoffs are going to start really fast and early this year, you know.
Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, one day off. See, the other key thing is, and I would say the biggest issue for the Mets has been all the guys they acquired in the bullpen. They have not performed whatsoever. Soto, he has an ERA of 9, I believe. What's his name? The guy from St. Louis. The guy from...
Housley,
the guy they got from Rogers from San Francisco. You know, so all those guys that
he's been okay. He's been okay. But the thing is that, you know, you can't blame Stearns for that because he went out, he got some really high caliber talent. And it's on the players. You know, the players came over. They weren't able to, you know, succeed over here. And it's funny. The same thing with Mullins. You know what I'm saying? So we gave these guys three prospects for nothing because Mullins isn't going to pan out. Obviously, we're not going to sign him. He's long in the tooth. You know what I'm saying? He's older. And we don't even want him. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't able to perform. I don't blame him for that. I blame the Mets a lot for that, too. Because, you know, we had him. We didn't use him. You know, Tyrone Taylor gets hurt. So, you know, he comes in today. He gets a couple of hits. He does his thing. You know, we're like, listen, I don't know. We have a situation in center field. We have to figure that out. We've been playing, you know, weird baseball. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But let's talk about this ABS system. Let's break it down to, you know, a science. So this way everybody understands. Let's do this.
The ABS stands for Automatic Balls and Strike System. They currently have it running in the minor leagues. I've gone to a couple of Gwinnett Braves. They're the AAA team of the Braves here. They do it all the time. I went to the last game the other day just to get my last baseball fix in for the year.
That's awesome.
Since the Braves are done. But anyway, they did it. And you know, as soon as the ball strike is decided by the umpire, the hitter or the catcher, there's three people that can challenge the ball. It's either, and they're all on the field. It's either the catcher, the hitter, or the pitcher. Nobody from the dugout can challenge a balls and strike. It has to be those three guys. So it's going to be in effect in 2026.
It first came into play this year during the All-Star game. So that's when the first official baseball game they used the ABS system for was this year's All-Star game. So
people might be like, oh, the reason why I'm doing this is because the accuracy of these umpires has been god-awful. Well, believe it or not, it's the accuracy rate of umpires this year has been a 94% correct. So that's pretty good. So it has nothing to do with them. It seems like it. You know, when you see the bad calls, it's easy to pick up like, there's no way. The umpires, that's the why they're doing it. But believe it or not, their accuracy has been pretty good.
Yeah, but that's to get it closer to 100 is better. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that to be a part of the problem. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that to be the reason why my team lost. You know, I want it to be fair. You know what I'm saying? For both teams. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be good.
Exactly.
I like it.
So two teams are going to get – two teams will get – each team will get two challenges, right, for the whole game. So you gotta be smart about it. You gotta be strategic in when to use it. You just can't use it every bat. Like, it's not like every batter gets two challenges per, you know.
But if you get it right, don't you get your challenge back?
You retain it.
Okay, then. So you're going for, you know, you're gonna call these challenges, bro. You're gonna call them.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're right, you know, why not? You know what I'm saying? The same way, you know, they do with it. You know, they do it now, like, with the replay. Want to replay at first because, you know, they feel like they were safe, then let's do it. Why not? You know, if you were right, cool. If you're wrong, you lose it. But I love it.
So in extra innings, you only get one, each team gets one challenge.
Gotcha.
So from the 10th inning on, that's it. One. Now, if you retain it, if you win it, you keep that challenge. It's like in football. You get one challenge, you lose it. You know, that's it. Same thing. And then the rest is, I guess, will be decided by the umpires. If it's a big situation where the umpire can, you know, it can be like a umpire review type of thing. Anyway, like I said, the batter and catcher can ask for a challenge. No manager can challenge balls or strikes. The way they challenge the way they say, I want to challenge it, they tap their helmet or their hat. Depends who it is. If it's the pitcher, it's the hat. If it's the batter or the catcher, their helmet. All right. The umpire will challenge it. They'll take a look. In 2025, they're about average of 4.1 challenges were used in the game. They last about 13 seconds. So the question is, how long does it take? Does it slow down the game? It wasn't really drastic. Slowing down of the game, because, you know, baseball is trying to speed up the game, trying to make it a little more faster just to draw more attention. You know, we live in a short span. You know, people have a short attention span nowadays. So it took 13.8 seconds for the challenge to go through. Like I said, 72. The votes that they conducted, 72% of the fans voted during spring training said that they were in favor of the challenges and that it had a positive impact on the outcome of the game. 69% of the votes wants the MLB to include ABS, and 30% of them want to remain with human umpires. So it sounds like
a little bit of both, though, because you're going to have the ump there. If the ump is still there, he's going to be calling the strike. I mean, instead of coming through a system for him, because he's not going to physically call the strike, but he's going to call whatever the computer calls in. And then after that, if they want to challenge it, cool. But he'll still be there. And, you know, those plays at first, second, and third, you know, they're still going to call those plays. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's going to be all right. It's going to be both. You know what I'm saying? The umps need a little bit of help. Let's keep it real here. Let's not act like, you know, there's not a lot of negative stuff to talk about when it comes to the umps. There's a lot of negative stuff to talk about. They're fucking up calls, and we don't appreciate it. I'm not saying it's not a hard job. I'm just saying that they need help.
They're human. You know, they're humans. They make errors. You know,
exactly.
You and I make errors, you know, in our jobs. That's why we have things to assist us if we make an error. You know, they have, you know, just like your job, you have rules and protocols in place so that when a mistake does happen, we can resolve the issue without making it bigger than it is. So same thing with this case, you know. So in the ABS first was used in independent ball in 2019. The challenge system was first used in 2022 in the Florida State League, which is like a minor league system, basically. And also it was used in AAA in 2023 and 2024. In the minor leagues system, in 2025, each team was awarded three challenges instead of two.
Okay.
And 71% of the fans thought that four or fewer challenges was enough. So that's how they came down with two challenges.
Gotcha. Yeah.
They realized no one's exceeding it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So why have so many?
So, if you have an unlimited amount, the game will go on forever. Because I'm like, I'm gonna challenge this player. You're gonna challenge the first pitch. You know, it's just you'll be there all day. And so forces players to use it to their discretion. You know what I mean? It's there to have it, but don't take advantage of it and use it in a wise situation. You know what I mean? So in spring training, 2.6% of the pitchers called for challenges that were challenged by the pitcher were overturned at 52%.
Okay.
Pitchers challenged by pitchers and catchers had a 54% success rate, and whereas the hitters were at a 50% success rate. So when the hitter challenged it, he was successful at 50%, and when a pitcher challenged it, they were at a 54% success rate. Gotcha. So it's saying that both work. So it favors both sides. It's not like, oh, yeah, it always goes the batter's way. Blah.
Of course not.
That's not true. And they're not going to create a system where it favors one person, because that's the case. What's the point of having a system that only favors one side? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, it's like the roughing the passer, the quarterback in football. Let's be honest with you. Only favors the quarterback. It favors the offense. It never favors the defense. You know what I mean? During the MLB, the minor league games, The overturn rate declined as the game went on. So that means that's good. So as the game went on, it went down. So that's good. From innings 1 through 3, the overturn rate was at 60%, and then from innings 4 through 6, the overturn rate went down to 51%, and then from innings 7 through 9, the overturn rate down to 43%. So what that basically means is, it basically means less players were challenging as the game went on, because they just realized there's the chance of you getting it or slim. If it's a type of situation where it's like your team is the lead that's falling behind and you challenge it, the likelihood of it going in your favor is going to be slim, just because, you know, if you're far behind, things like that. So those are some good stats. The other thing that I noticed is that they said the umpire strike zone was more in favor of pitchers at a 55.6%, and the upper strike zone was at 24.2%, and the minimum off the bottom of the zone is a 24.2% was the bottom of the zone. The strike zone comparison as far as the size from the umpires to the ABS with a 2-2 count was 449 square inches, whereas in the ABS it was 443 inches difference from the plate difference. You know what I mean? So there's not much of a difference.
Gotcha.
So they had to measure like the difference of the balls and strikes from when the umpire called it as far as where the ball was in the strike zone as to what the ABS saw it. So that's good. And for those of you watch the games, I know ESPN does. I don't know if the regional networks do, but I know ESPN, when you watch the games on ESPN or even on Fox, they put that box up for you.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
They replay of where the ball was, you know, so which is good. So I'm in favor of it.
Of course, me too.
You know, it's you're not going to have now. It's great because you don't lose your best player because, you know, he got hot. Soto got pissed off at the wrong call. And now he's got thrown out, or it was Jeff McNeil a couple weeks ago. He got thrown out for a horrible pitch, in my opinion, that was outside. They called a strike. He went off, and rightfully so. And he got ejected for it, which sucked because it was early in the game. And, you know, McNeil is a key part of the Mets offense, and you lost a bat because of it. So now that's going to take away that ability for your player to get tossed, because now you can't argue, you know, what the computer says. You know, in this case, the computer is not going to lie. They're going to put the visual on. So the way that it's going to work, every stadium is going to replay the pitch on their, you know, Jumbotron, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be able to see that. And so it will be just like how they do in football. You know, when a foul happens, they can see the play, if the catcher was made or not. Same thing. Umpire gets it right then and there. The umpire can see it. So, because the other issue I notice nowadays too is, well, they show the replays, See, like when it comes to like a replay, like a safe, like a in the play, like as far as like a if someone was safe at home type of thing, if you notice, they mostly don't show the umpires are only communicating with back with the people in Secaucus. That's where the replay booth is. So they don't necessarily always show the whole play in the stadium. They do, it depends, but not as intense as it was when the umpires, in Secaucus review, the review booth. So they'll be able to see it. Everyone will be able to see it. So there's no discrepancy. They can't say, oh, they just said that because they're the home team. Nope. Everyone can see it. A ball's a ball. A strike's a strike. If the umpire's wrong, then the umpire's wrong and the count gets changed.
Yeah, that's it. It's not a big
If it
deal.
was 2-1,
What's
now it's
wrong?
1-2, vice versa. And then and it's good because now you don't have to lose your star player over some bullshit play. You know what I mean? And
Exactly.
that's the other issue that was happening too. A lot of players this year were getting thrown out. Key players,
Managers are getting thrown out of games for that shit
managers.
too.
What was it against the Yankees early in the season in
Well,
July?
boom, boom, boom is getting thrown out of every other game.
Boone, but Mendoza got thrown out in that game, and it's just like, things like that. So I think it's a great idea. It's you want baseball to be pure, but also you want it to be accurate. And sometimes I've noticed there's not accuracy, and for baseball, it's really about accuracy. You really need that because it's do you know pitchers every pitch makes a difference. It makes or break a game. You know what I mean? It
I
could take the
agree.
energy out of a game if you're in the bottom of the eighth inning and what was clearly a ball, it's a strike. Now the inning's over and you have bases man on first and second with two outs. That takes away the momentum. Now you have two outs instead of one with man on second, and first. So it takes away the momentum, so this is good. I like I said, I don't know if you've gone to any minor league games this year, but I know you work
No,
some of
I
them.
haven't. Nah, I used to. I don't do them anymore.
They don't, but anyway, they're great. They're fun. Literally, it's like takes 2 seconds, and they say all over the PA, ball, and it's like an automated voice, and the umpire be like, okay, recorrects it, 2-1 count, so and so, and they move on. So I think it's great. I love it. I know the old school head baseball fans, are not gonna like it, but the baseball is trying to gear towards the newer fans. They're trying to gain new fans because with football being the dominant sport in America, you're losing fans. Baseball always say, it's so long, it's so boring, blah 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 blah. The same old stuff they always say about baseball.
So don't watch it. You
So
know,
exactly. So
there's a
don't
thousand
watch it.
sports out there. If you don't like that one, watch something else.
But for people like you and I who like baseball, we
Love
love it.
baseball.
There's some things I wouldn't change, but there's some things I do like change. I like the I don't like the extra innings, the runner on the Manfred Man, whatever you want to call it, on
I
second. I
mean,
don't
I
like
like it.
that.
I watched two games yesterday that, incorporated the Manfred, and guess what? It made the game interesting, especially during the playoffs, you can't use it. You
Like
know what
the
I'm
Reds
saying?
game yesterday.
The Grez game yesterday and the
I didn't
Dodger game
guarantee you they're
yesterday,
gonna win.
it was crazy. Yeah, I loved it. I love the strategies that are involved. Like you can load up the bases, you can do all different types of different strategies to like win the game if you have a Manfred man. Like it makes the game interesting. I like it. I like it. It speeds it up a little bit, but it changes the whole strategy of the game, which is cool. I don't, it
Yeah,
doesn't bother me.
no, definitely. I think it's great. So anyway, the one thing I did want to talk about, we talked about, is Cal Raleigh. He's been him and Judge are going to be, they are competing for that American League MVP, and they've been on fire, man. What's amazing about Cal Raleigh is the stats he's been putting up for a catcher. He has 60 home runs, so far. So I think he has 61 now. I take that back. It might be 61. So he's ahead of Ohtani and Judge by a wide margin. For catchers, he surpassed
Look at you. Look at you. Who did he surpass? I know Johnny Bench is in there somewhere. Look at this guy. He's laughing. Can't find the stats. He's falling apart. Who did he pass? Look at that. He's flipping notes over here, flipping pages. Can't find it. Oh, I love it. Well, anyway, Kyle Riley up for, you know, National League MVP. He cheated. We're not going to talk about that if he did last week. You know what I'm saying? He's a DH. He's the DHing.
Oh, you mean the home run shouldn't count if it's a DH?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. But, you know, it's okay. We, you know, the MLB's not going to do that. This is fun for the MLB. They're going to be like, wow, you know, this record hasn't been broken in years, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it shouldn't have been broken either. But that's okay, though. You know what I'm saying? Let the MLB, you know, enjoy that one.
No, but so he surpassed Mickey Mantle for a switch hitter with 54 home runs.
Oh, he found the notes. He found the notes, guys.
And he also passed Salvador Perez, who had 48 home runs for
a but Salvador, he's like
2021. You know, it just, you know, when you think of catcher, you don't think, you know, they're not like the guys you would look to be the main home run hitters, you know. You know, they're
depends.
More
it depends on what kind of team you have. Yeah, it depends. You know, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And then another amazing thing about Kyle Riley is that he participated in the home run derby and he won it. And so, you know, they always, you ever notice that there's a trend?
Yeah, of course. It's not a, it's a curse. Derby, it's a curse.
Their stats seem to go, you know,
they plummet
under, you know, they plummet. But he's been the opposite. And he, in my opinion, I think Judge is more valuable to the Yankees than is Kyle Riley to Seattle. But Seattle, at least Yankees have other players that can help carry the Yankees. Whereas Seattle, Kyle Riley has literally won more games for them. He has single-handedly won more games for Seattle than Rodriguez has or any other guy on that team.
I understand that, but they're still stacked, though. They have a really good ball club.
No,
I was watching them play the other day, and, you know, listen, they have a really good lineup, and I like it. I think they have a shot in the playoffs as well. It's going to be a really fun, you know, atmosphere, even if the Mets don't make it, you know. And Miami's tough. Okay, let me explain something to you. In the month of September, they've beaten up on the Detroit Tigers. You know, we spoke about the Tigers. They're falling apart. Yeah. So does it mean anything? Eh? They were able to sweep the Texas Rangers.
A team that's struggling.
Exactly. Oh, no, they did that with the Colorado Rockies, too, because they swept them, too. So they went on a serious stretch here, right, where they won, you know, the series against sweeping Colorado. Then they swept Texas, and then they went into a series with the Phillies, and they were able to win the first one and that one. So they won seven games in a row this month, you know what I'm saying? And they lost the series to the Phillies, but that was recent. That just happened. So now they're going into the series with the Mets, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're getting better, but it's too late for them, you know what I'm saying? But still, they can cause problems. This is what I'm trying to say. It's not going to be an easy out. It's not going to be like, let's trample over this team and let's try to stay in the playoffs. It's not going to be that easy. No team is going to give it up just like that. It's because it's the end of the season and they're not in it because they have to worry about their own stats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and some guys are playing for contracts too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you back exactly. It in.
And also, some of the, a lot of these guys, you know, they're going to be free agents. So if they want to get a contract,
exactly.
They're going
to. Exactly. They have to work hard.
You bagged it in and I don't want to sign you. You're just going to bag it in if we lose. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So,
like I said, you know, teams, the teams, you can kind of tell which teams are going to just, like, you know, the last 3 days. Like, for example, the Yankees, they had them locked up the first wild. Now, they're fighting for a division. I should take that back. But some team like Milwaukee, they've won the division. They got the first seed. They're probably going to rest as many of their guys as they can. It's not the same as, like, in football.
But listen, you know what they're playing? They're playing Cincinnati, all right? So they have to look at it as, all right, you know, at this point in the season, don't you feel like they have a responsibility to say to themselves, all right, we really have to try to beat up on this team, because who do we want in the playoffs? Do we want the Mets in the playoffs, or do we want Cincinnati in the playoffs? Who's the easier team to beat? Are they playing that hand, or are they playing to just destroy the team because they want to keep their stats up? You tell me. I don't know. Like, you know, is that, that's not like the unheard of shit. That's the shit that you're not going to hear about. That's not the shit. Because no team is going to tell you, yeah, we tanked to Cincinnati because we prefer to play Cincinnati in the playoffs, you know what I'm saying, versus the Mets. You know what I'm saying? No team is ever going to interview like that.
No, but that's true. But also, let's be honest. For baseball, you know, if you think about it, There, who do you? What's going to be more sexier, having the Mets in the playoffs or the Cincinnati Reds? Let's be honest. You want to have a big market team. You want to have the Yankees in there. You want to have the Mets in there because there could be a possibility that they might it could be another 2001 World Series where both teams are in it. You know, like
yeah, it can happen.
Cincinnati's not a sexy team. I'm sorry. The only people in Cincinnati are going to like it. But if baseball wants to really grow their sport, how good is it? You have, what is it, two LA teams in the playoffs, you have a team from Canada in the playoffs. You have, you know, two New York teams. You know, you got Boston in there. You got the Chicago. So all the major cities are represented, you know, and that's what you want, you know. So, yeah, I'm telling you, man, I don't see the Mets falling apart. There's no way. They got this far. Just there's no way. I don't see that happening. But you know, anything could happen. You know, I don't know. I don't see that happening. Miami, they're done. They're ready for the offseason. They're gonna go play golf, but they're gonna play you tough. Miami's been a really tough team. They play teams tough. They've had a better second half than the first half. But it's like I said, for the Mets, I think they'll get in there. The question is what's going to help carry them through the playoffs? Is it going to be the pitching, the offense, or the defense? Because all three of them.
We need all three.
And that's how to win. I always say, I was told my dad, to win the World Series, you have to have all three phases clicking. What I mean by three phases, four phases, you have to have your pitching, your starting pitching has to be on point.
Agreed.
Your bullpen has to be on point, and agreed, your offense has to be on point. And your one defense, time, if you want to come by 4-4. And that's
defense,
how the Yankees
lost. Defense is, I think, it's one of the most important.
Defense wins championships. You've heard that saying before. Your dad told you. Look at the Yankees last year. Why did they lose that World Series? Because they fumbled the ball 7 times in one inning, and it took away all the momentum. They took away, and then after that, think about it. When an inning like that in the World Series, that's devastating. You know how hard that is for a player to come back from that? I wouldn't be able to come back from that. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I remember from my experience working as EMT, where you're trying to run and grab something and your first time and you drop the, I remember dropping the first aid bag and everyone saw me. I looked like an idiot trying to carry 7 things, but you learn from it and it's silly, but it's, you know, and it's hard to come back, you know? So I'm hoping for the Mets that they get a repeat of what happened last postseason. They went to Milwaukee and they surprised everyone because Milwaukee, once again, they were the favorite. They had the staff. They had the better offense. And Devin Williams pooped the bed, but Pete Alonso carried the Mets last postseason. And all you're asking for the Mets is you just need two guys out of your three main core to carry you.
That's it.
If Soto, and the big guy that you need to carry you is Soto because he makes the most money. And if he can carry
you, I don't care. I don't care if you're not getting paid. I don't care if it's Tyrone Taylor. If he goes on a streak, I don't give a fuck who it is. As long as it happens, I'm happy with that. You know, this team is a really good team. I don't care if Soto doesn't hit as long as everybody else does. If Soto wants to join us and he wants to hit too, fine. But, you know, we just need to win games. You know, the pitching has to be excellent. The defense has to be excellent. Once those two gel, we have a shot, okay? Because if the pitching is doing its thing, then it's going to be a low-scoring ball game, and we don't need a lot of runs. You know what I'm saying? Is anybody can be a hero in that baseball club. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
that's true.
You know, let's just make it and see what happens, you know? But Miami's not going to be easy. That's all I can say. You know, but we're going to be talking about this a lot in the next couple of days because we have 3 games left, and, you know, next podcast is going to be crazy because we'll know exactly where everybody landed and who's in it, and it's going to be a lot of fun talk. But
Tuesday, I always say Tuesday can't come fast enough. I'm kind of glad I'm working this weekend because Tuesday I don't work. So, the weekend, when I work the weekends, I usually get the first 3 days after the weekend I work off. So, basically, I'm going to have 2 days to sit on my butt and watch games or listen to them in the car, whatever it is. I'm going to take advantage of that. Because the playoffs is a whole new world. Anyone can get hot. Anyone can make a run. Just look at a couple years ago with the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks. No one had them going to World Series.
Of course not.
You know, everyone, who are the favorites right now? The favorites would be the Dodgers and the Yankees, you know.
Maybe. I don't know. Things have changed.
No, things have changed. But you know what I mean? The the teams that we think are going to make it never make it. You know, last year was kind of exception because Dodgers, they were in it, a couple years ago. And so, they're the exception. But like I said, no one had the Mets making a run. And so that's what, to me, that's what's always fun. When the underdog team makes a run. And this year, I hate to say it, but it's a good thing. The Mets are going to be underdog, which is good because it puts less pressure on them.
There's a lot of pressure on them. You know why? Because they spent so much money. This team was supposed to prevail and already have qualified. We gave up a lot. We're not doing the right thing. So to make the playoffs is going to be a plus for this club, being that we really shit the bed halfway through, right? And if we can get to like a second round, third round, then we can say, all right, this team works. We just have to tweak it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? They have to figure it out because something's wrong. But if we can go on a nice little run, then it'll be worth the money, you know what I'm saying, that they spent. Because right now, it doesn't look good. If we don't make the playoffs, they're going to say, wow, we spent the most money and couldn't make it. So what happened? That has to be a serious, Q&A.
Well, yeah. Well, it's weird because if you think about it, you look at last year's Mets and this year's Mets, they didn't really make a lot of drastic changes, you know what I mean? You know, one or two guys left.
Yeah, but a lot of guys got hurt. And then they made a lot of changes. You know what the changes were?
Yeah.
The lineup wasn't consistent. You know what I'm saying? That's a change that didn't work for them. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have a consistent lineup. They didn't have a 1-9. They kept changing everything.
Which is weird because then that messes up the players. And that's the same issue they had this year with their third base. Remember we're playing ring around the posy, round robin, what do you want to call it?
Whatever it is, yeah.
Vientos.
This is why. That hurt us a lot.
Then it's Acuna, and it's like, just stick with one guy. And that's why Vientos never got off, in my opinion.
That's exactly why he messed with him
mentally.
Of course it did.
Guy. You should have said, hey, listen, Vientos, when you come back, you're going to be the starting third baseman. Okay, Mauricio, you'll ride the bench. You'll be on the majors, but you'll ride the bench. You're the backup. You're the guy that gets the day to play when Vientos needs rest. That's what they should have done.
This is bullshit, though.
Well, it's annoying because you wish they had realized that before. It's not too late because they were going to make the playoffs. But
maybe
it might have made a difference because you get comfortable as a player, with any sport, players like, daily routine. For example, Lindor, he knows he's going to play every day.
Exactly.
So he knows he's
going to play every happens, day. No matter if they go on a slump, no matter what happens.
Yeah, he could be 0-20, Soto.
He's still going to play.
Because you know why? He's the best player. The problem is they didn't view Vientos as the best player for third base, and he is the best player for third base, in my opinion. Same thing with Alonso. Who's the best player to play first base? Alonso. It's not like a catcher position where you could go either way. Right now, it's been Alvarez. He's been the best catcher, but it could go either way. Same thing with center field. You didn't have a true center fielder, so you had to rotate it, Jeff McNeil, what's his name? Nimmo, he's kind of hitting lately.
I know, but Alvarez has been hitting too.
Yeah, Alvarez, let me tell you something. The best thing they did for Alvarez was send him back to the minors because he fixed himself up, and now it's what they needed to do. That's what the Yankees should have done with Volpe, but that's a story for another day. But the point is they managed to fix Alvarez, in my opinion. That was the right thing to do. Acuna, he's been okay, but, he hasn't been as what they would like him to be offensively contributing-wise. But they got him more so for defense. But either way, like I said, if the Mets make it, that's all that matters. You made it. Even through all the trials and tribulations, you got it. That's all that matters. You made it to the dance. And once you get in the dance, it's like the NCAA basketball. You got teams that you've never heard of. Robert Morris going all the way to the final. Who's Robert or George Mason? Who's George Mason? You start looking, well, I've never heard of this team. And then also it's good because, it puts more eyes, it's going to draw more fans to come to Citi Field. It's you know, and it's gonna get people to buy more jerseys. Oh, you know, man, I guarantee you the Pete Alonso jersey sales went up through the roof this off season, especially once they knew that they were gonna resign him.
Yeah, but now
that's money, you know.
Yeah, but now this is, so now you have him walking because he had an amazing year. You had Schwarber out there too. He had 50 home runs, so he's gonna be asking for a lot of money. Alonso's gonna be asking for some more money. So it's going to be interesting. Do we go after both or do we go after one? You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to grab one. If we can't grab both, we have to grab one. If we can't grab Peter, at this point, we really have to talk to Peter. Like, I don't know.
So the nice thing about the Mets is they have the ability to go after both. They're not like the Orioles where they could go either one, or the Phillies where they go either way. They have to pick one player. The Mets could do both. And that's what's dangerous about the Mets, because they got the most money and they can go after anybody they want. They can... And that's what they did with Judge. Look what happened with Judge. They just blew the Yankees out of the water. The Yankees like, we're not going to match. This is ridiculous. Same thing. So if someone try, if Toronto tries to match, or whoever needs a first baseman tries to match Alonso, you know, they could be like, okay, forget it. We'll blow you this team out. Let's say Baltimore wanted to go after Alonso because Ryan Mountcastle is a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah,
Let's just say.
Everybody's going to be interested.
But Baltimore's not going to be able to offer him $30 million per year. That's for someone that's going to play, what, maybe five good years, maybe four, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone who's getting older, he's what, in his late 20s, early 30s?
Nah, he's 31.
Okay, so he's late 30s. In baseball, years that you're getting old. You know, that's a lot of money. And the Orioles already made that mistake. They gave all that money to Chris Davis. You remember that contract?
Of course
they're still paying the guy. He ain't doing – he's not doing anything. Sitting at home doing nothing. So that's the – you know, they're not – they're you know – so who knows? But I think the teams that are going to go after Alonso would be, you know, contenders, teams that are in contention.
Obviously, they're going to really go after him. I know they will. So it's going to be interesting. I don't want him to leave now, not after, because I feel like that's a piece that we actually need. You know,
and I don't think he wants to leave. You know, that's his whole life. You know, the Mets were, you know, they gave him an olive branch,
but he never got the money though.
Well, because this is his year, they're saying, okay, we'll give you this money, but you got to prove to us you're worthy of that. But even then, he's still not going to get what he wants. He'll get close to it with the Mets than he will with any other team.
If he's asking
for $40 million, the Mets might give him $30 million. You know what I mean? I'm just throwing numbers, you know.
It's going to be more than that for sure. I mean, like those numbers you're throwing out right now, I don't know what kind of
40 million per year?
I don't know. I don't know.
You think it'll be more? I don't know.
That's I don't know. It's going to be a deep. I know, but a team will pay it just to have them. You know, like you know, the saying is you pay for five, right? But you're really trying to get two out of him. You know what I'm saying? Because you feel like that's the piece you need to win a championship. You're not paying for a full five. You're just paying. The five is because you outbid another team and you really wanted this
you
player.
You really want, just like the Soto. They gave exactly. that to you, whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever stipulations.
The studio, you know, whatever, you know, whatever
like
it was.
The suite, for example.
The suite,
you know,
exactly. Issue, of course.
Oh, we'll
of
give
course.
You a suite. Okay, well, and the Yankees are going to give you a suite because that's money they're going to lose out of their pocket. You know, so it sounds silly, but that's
those
what
are the things.
Comes down to.
That's what it comes down to.
For Alonso, I don't think it's going to be about the years. It's more about the money. How much money can I get in a short period of time? That's what he's going to come down to. Because he's got no realistic. Okay, I'm 31 years old. What I have? Maybe four good years? Like good years. You know, so that brings you to what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like that.
So the Mets guy be like, okay, can we get. Because the nice thing about Alonso is that he doesn't play a position that's. A lot of wear and tear on the body, like center field or outfield.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, he can turn it exactly. Thank you. Took the words out of my mouth. But DH, that's what it is for him.
And you can rotate him DHing with Soto because Soto's going to eventually get old and he's going to be like Stan. He can't play the outfield anymore. So now you have two guys who can rotate, you know. But Soto's going to be around longer, you know.
Soto's in his 20s.
I know. So Soto's going to be around longer. So while Soto's still playing the outfield, what's his name? Alonso's going to be your. DH, and then you can, you know, maybe you can move Alvarez. I'm just saying, or you can move, you know, Alvarez to first if he gets older, you know, he's having problems with his legs. I don't know what the, you know.
I don't know, but but the future for the Mets is bright. That's for sure. That's one thing that we can honestly say. But we have
the
to
pitching
figure
staff
out.
Is amazing, man. That's one thing I don't know is about the Mets. They've always in their history, they've always had great starting pitcher. It just offense has never been.
these three guys, Tong, McLean, and Spro, I like this. You know? Listen, he's pitching tomorrow. Let's see what he can do for us. I'm excited. Let's see what happens. But
so let me ask you a question. Let's just do a quick. You set up the rotation if tomorrow were the three-game series. Who would you
against the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Wow. McLean first, I think, because the Dodgers haven't seen him yet in the series because, you know, they played that series out before he came up. So I would go with McLean for sure, right? I would do a Clay Holmes-Manaya mix, right, in a Game 2 situation. And then in Game 3, I would wait. I would see what Spro does tomorrow. And if he does well, then I would throw him in a situation as well. But I would keep a short leash on him, you know, like 2-3 innings of good baseball. And then once I see him start to struggle, I would have my starters ready to go, you know, because this is going to be a starter-heavy rotation. I'm not going to use the bullpen as much, but I'm definitely going to be using my rotation in a different way, you know. But it's definitely the Dodgers. We'll see what happens if we make it, and that's what I would do, you know. McLean first for sure.
Yeah, I would put Tong last.
I wouldn't put him in at all. I wouldn't put him in at all.
So you would do the Game 3 would be a mixture of Manaya and Holmes?
Nah, that would be Game 2.
Oh, I see. So if you're in a do or die, you would have Sprout as your do or die guy.
But on a short leash, though. So this way, if I need to bring Peterson in as well, because, you know, they don't do well against lefties, so I would do a Sprout, and then I would have Peterson right there ready to go just in case he can't handle it. You know what I'm saying? I'll do something like that. Short leash.
Yeah. But we're coming to and then the other thing is like, you know, you need the back end of the bullpen to be on par. You know what I mean?
No,
to the starting rotation, how to fix that. You know, the bullpen, the middle of the bullpen is where the biggest, you know, disappointment
of course.
Was. Let's be honest.
No, but that's where you're going to need
those guys that you traded for to be like, okay, this is why I traded you because you know, you came up when we needed you. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. But we're going to see. It's going to be really fun to watch. But now we're coming to the part of the show where Mr. Lasha is going to tell us who the hitter and the pitcher of the week are. Let's see what he's going to come up with. He's going through his notes.
Yeah, I get caught up in the conversation and totally forget what I was doing.
Oh.
Anyway, the hitter of the week this week is going to be Dominic Canzone of the Seattle Mariners. On September 16th versus Kansas City in the 12-5 win, he went 5-for-5, three Big home bet. Runs, four RBIs, and four runs. And it's funny because the gunslinger of the week is on his team as well.
You see that?
Which is George Kirby against the Angels on September 14th, an 11-2 win. He went six innings, six and a third, three hits allowed, two earned runs, and 14 strikeouts. That's what drew me attention, to have 14 strikeouts.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy. And, you know, that's the other reason why Seattle's been good. Their starting rotation is underrated. No one knows about their vote. See, Seattle's one of those teams that no one knows about because they play on the West Coast. Nobody watches their games. It's very late, especially if you live out here. No one's going to, you know. So that's a team that could put their name on the map in the postseason that no one is talking about. Everyone's talking about the Yankees, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's talking about the, you know, Blue Jays, blah, 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 blah. You know, things like that. But if there's a one underdog team, that's definitely Seattle. And like I said, they're like the Texas Rangers a couple years ago. They got hot and they just stayed hot. Could that be them? Who knows? So they, I like Seattle's chances. I like the chances against the Yankees, to be honest with you. I think their rotation matches up with the Yankees. The rotation, you know, the thing with the Yankees is they make a lot of errors. They're a terrible defensive team.
I don't think they have a shot in the playoffs, so let's not even talk about those guys.
Their defense is terrible. So
you got some trivia for the kid? Or yes. You can't find that in your notes? You got that? You found it?
So, trivia.
Well, let me see if I can pull this one.
How many years did the Chicago Cubs World Series drought last?
I think it was 100 years.
You're close. So the answer is, so it was 106 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time.
So from 1906 to 2016, that's a long time. Another question is, it's a two-part question. Who has the current drought of not winning the World Series? So now we know.
Oh, I know. It's Seattle.
No, that's a team that's never been to
the World Series.
So who now I say, so who has the longest drought? They've been to World Series, but they didn't win. So
The Pirates. The Pirates.
Nope. Believe it or not. Nope. I'll give you a hint. It's an American League Central team. That's all I can say.
The Twins.
Nope. It's funny because the Twins always make the playoffs and always fall apart. I can see why you guessed them.
Yeah. So who is it?
So it's the Cleveland Guardians.
Get out of here.
Or formerly known as the Cleveland Indians. They've gone 76 years without a World Series title, which is the longest championship drought in MLB history so far.
That's crazy.
And they're like Seattle, another team. They got hot. Who knows?
Things can change.
But it's crazy because, like, in baseball, even the two highest teams going down stretch, they all of a sudden lose their cool. You know what I mean? So it could happen.
It could happen.
No, you never know. But it's next week's episode is going to be great because playoff teams only, which will be nice.
Yeah.
So we can break it down. We'll be able to pick up the matchup. Now, Wednesday is great because there'll probably be two series have started, one American League series and one National League. But we already know who the matchups are.
Yeah, and, we will. It's going to be fun as hell.
It should be four games. Yeah, it's going to be, four? I think they do four games per day. I think that's the ideal. So anyway, it's exciting. We'll know who's going to be in it. I have faith the Mets will make it just because Cincinnati is not good. And Mets know they have to win. I think they will show up. This win against Chicago was a big boost for them.
It was.
As far as the morale and the energy. And so it's like, okay, I know I can do this. I got this. I believe. So I think they can start a new streak. And that's what you need going into a playoff. So anyway, we'll see.
Right. So on the next one, brothers and sisters, we'll see what happens. Peace. Have a good night. Peace.
Disconnected.